Sí. So what we want to do today is look at the sugya in Yuma, Daf Pei Dalanum in Beis, about 10 lines up from the bottom, which you'll see also in the in Torah Shulchan Aruch, in the Beis Yosef, Shin Chav Tes, the paragraph that starts, Vein Holchim Bo Achar Rov. Omer Av Yosef, Omer Av Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Lo Holchu B'Pikuach Nefesh Achar Rov. We'll see that Tosfos Shita is that this is derived from the pasuk v'chai bohem. There's a separate halacha v'chai bohem that removes rov. So that means normally, if you'd have rov akum, as Rashi points out in Sofik Kusi or Sofik Yisrael mefakhim, Rashi says afal gav derov kusim havahasim. So normally we would say that Rov tells me that underneath this debris there's a guy, and therefore we're not Mechal Shabbos, but Ein Holchim B'Pikuach Nefesh Achar Rov, and therefore the Rov Goyim is not going to determine that this unidentified individual is a guy, and if we suspend the Rov, we have a Safek, and in case of Safek, is we say Safek Nefashis Lahakim. The Gemara asks the following question: Hechi Dami, what's the case? I name it the Ika Teisha Yisrael Vakusi Echad Beinaihu is Ruby Yisrael Ninu. So I don't need Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel to teach me that Mefachin Ov Zagal if it's Rov Yisrael. Ella Palgo Palgo, if it's 50-50. Is suffering the fascist lahakel. So once again, I don't need Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel to suspend the din of Rov, because even without suspending the din of Rov, even if it's mechtzal mechtza, I would still be mefakech as a gal. I'm not going to let someone die on Shabbos mitzad suffering. Ella says the Gemara lo tzricha. What's the case? El de'ika tisha kusim v'Yisrael echad. Correct? So we have nine goyim. So if we rely on Rov, what do we assume? Who's under this gal? It would be a goy, right? Because we have nine goyim and one Yisrael. Is in this case, Shmuel says that that's ein holchin b'pikuach nefesh achar harov. So Gemara's not happy with that either. Hanami pshita. Tahavile kavua, the kol kavua kimechzal mechzedami. So, within the context of this Gemara, we can raise a few questions. We want to know when the Torah relies on rov, is that a svara? Is that something that's logical? Is what we call in the world of Umas Olam, they call it statistical probability. Is that what it's all about? Or is Rov a separate din? Another question we could ask is, what's the power of a Rov? Does Rov remove the Safek? Does Rov prevent the latest Safek? Does Rov Machria the Safek? Is the Rov Hanhog? I mean, there are various different possibilities. And then we could ask a number of questions about Kavua. How does Kavua operate? Is there any logic to Kavua? I saw one of the first ones to say that Kavua is logical. For example, you have Teisha Chanuyos, Mochros, Basar Kosher, and one Chanus is Mocheres, Basar Treif. So I walk out and I don't know whether I bought here or there. So the Halach is Kol Kavua Kemech Tzal Mech Tzedami, and it's Sofik Darais L'Chumra. So normally we understand that that's Gzeres HaKosev, it's not logical. I mean, the statistical probabilities haven't changed. But I saw that they want to say the following. I mean, just make, you know, don't fetishkach, I mean, put it in the back burners in case we ever need it. They want to say that when a person goes into a store, he's either buying food for his family, and it's going to be kosher food, or he's buying food for his dog, and it'll be non-kosher food, because non-kosher food generally is cheaper than kosher food. I don't know if that's still true today, I don't know, but let's assume it's true. And therefore, why would he spend the extra prutot, you know, if he's feeding his dog? I mean, if he's feeding his cat and catamon, no, that's a different story. Yeah. But if he's feeding his dog, why is he going to spend the extra bucks, you know, to feed his dog? So he's probably going in. The fact that there's only one but if that one non-kosher butcher store is selling at half the price, that's where he's going. So when the suffix is chal after the prisha, it's chal on the piece of meat, then it's purely statistical probability. You know, there's no intellect, you know, that's making a decision. There's no, a decision-making process. But when it's a question, I walk out of the store, and I don't know which store I walked out of, then you could have 999 kosher butcher shops, and one non-kosher butcher, it's still kevechtz al mechtzah, as far as I'm concerned. But the problem with that approach is that there are many sugyas in shas where kol kavua operates even without that logical decision. For example, in Hilchas Taroves, if you have something that's not batel, for example, a dover sheshel matirin, a dover shenol sim tam, a dover chashav, a birya, and so forth and so on, so the halacha is that we view the Taroves as kavua, is called kavua kemech tal mechzadom, we don't apply to the halacha of bitul barov. Meaning, whenever we suspend the halacha of bitul barov, automatically we activate the halacha of kavua, so it doesn't... I'm just saying that there are many sugyas in shas where this might be problematic. In the sugya nazir, where he has relations with a woman, it depends whether she's in the house or outside of the house. So there you might say that he has more tendency of going to a psula than a kshera, but it's difficult. So in any event, let's assume, if it's okay with the oilam, that rov and kavua, all these halachas are determined by the Torah itself. It's gzeiras hakasev. It doesn't always fit into human intuitive logic. And of course, the greatest proof for that is the famous Rashash. Do you remember the Rashash in Masechta Ksuvos, the famous Rashash? The Rashash says, you know, this is just a very interesting chiddush of the Rashash. The Mishnah says, Maisa betinoka sheyard lemalos mayim. Those of us who are learning Evan Ezra together, you remember this in Hilchas Yuchsin. The question is, Nensa, the question is, who is the Boel? Was he a kosher apostle? And the nafkamina is whether a kohen could marry her. So Rav Yochanan ben Nuriyim, Rov Anshe Ha'ir Masiyan Lekuhuna, is Arezu Tinasi Lekuhuna. So let's say there are 100 men in the city, and 51 of them are kosher, are ksherim, and 50 are psulim, a nasin, a mamzer, whatever it might be. So the Mishnah paskins in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, later the Gemara requires true right, trei ruvi, but according to the Dina Mishnah, one robe is sufficient and the kohen can marry her. So Rabbi Kivega makes a comment here on this Mishnah in Tosefus Rabbi Kivega on the Mishnayis, that if the 51st kosher is a kohen who wants to marry her, then he can't rely on Rov, because he knows that he wasn't the boel. So he's left with 50-50. So the Rashash says that that's wrong. That's the Rashash. The Rashash says that Rov doesn't depend upon what you know. You know, the kohen looking at the statistics sees 50-50, and therefore he removes himself from the Rov. No, the Rov is already upgepaskin. The halacha considers him as one of the potential boelim, and it's not a question of statistical yedias, you know, what he knows and what he doesn't know, and how to apply that statistically. And the Rashash goes very, very far with this. You know, the Rashash says that if you find a piece of meat in a city which has rov chanuyos mochros basar kosher, the only problem is that the kosher meat in the city is triangular, and the trefa meat is square, and that comes from the one non-kosher butcher shop. So the Rashash says that even though you found a square piece of meat, you're allowed to eat it, because the Torah says, Achei Rabim Lahatis. The kosher meat is triangular. He gives different statistics, you know, different. He plays with the different games. But in any event, it's quite clear, at least from the Rashash, that the halach of Rov is not what we think it is. And for sure, kavua, to say that kavua suspends the operation of rov, that's not something that's intuitively logical. You know, the fact that it's kavua and it's not naidi, the suffix is nolad b'makom kvius, and the poskim say you need nikar b'mkomo in order to apply the halacha of kavua. That, well, none of these details and requirements and conditions seem to be logical. In fact, the Chayyadam, I just want to point out, wrote an entire treatise here called the Binas Adam, Shar HaKavua. And he has pages and pages to try to determine, based on all the sugyas and shas, when you apply kavua and when you don't. And one of the issues that he deals with is, since in kavua you need what's called nikar bimkomo, what happens if it's not nikar to us, but it's a human being, and he knows his status. So he knows whether he's a kosher, a posel, is he Yisrael, or a guy. If we can't identify him, do we say, therefore, there's a tarovis here, and it's called the parish meruva parish, or do we still apply the halacha of kavua? And he comes to the conclusion, based on our sugi and yuma, that it doesn't have to be nikar to us, as long as it's nikar to the person. A human being is always considered kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzatami until he packs out. Now, what does it mean he packs out? That's not too clear. What happens if he packs out, but he's still within the general area? You know, let's say, for example, there's a makolin. He's still in the makolin. He hasn't yet left. What if he goes from one chatzit to the other? What if he's still in the city? Well, sometimes the halacha of kavua is determined by the ear. But what if he goes, he's poresh from the rest of the people in the city, but he's still within the limits of the city? I mean, all these are issues in how to determine kavua. So initially, the Gemara establishes, according to Shmuel, lo halchu b'pikuach nefesh achar rov. And Rashi says right up front that if you have a suffik kusi, suffik Yisrael, even though this ruba kusim is nevertheless with mefakeach es hagal, which is a little bit odd when you think of it, because the Gemara says that if even though this rov kusim, the Gemara says it's still kavua. It's called kavua kemetzal mechzedami. So when you read the Rashi up front, and Rashi says that Shmuel's chiddush is that even though there's rov kusim with mefakech sagal, but even if it's rov kusim, but it's still called kavua kemetzal mechzedami. So what was there? It was a havamina in the Gemara that we don't know. The Gemara didn't know the halacha of kavua. You know, pashtus, when you see this Gemara, and Rashi himself tells you that kavua is not a chiddush here in this sugya. The Gemara establishes kavua in different sugyas in Shas. Rashi tells you that the halach of kavua is derived from a pasuk v'kamalavi arevlo in Masechta Sanhedrin and Masechta Ksubis. And it means prat lezorek evan lego. You have nine Yisraelim and one Knani, and you throw a stone, and you admittedly want to kill a Jew, and then we find the Jew died, is the din is that you're potter. Why are you potter? Because kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzedom. Even though your intention was to kill a Jew, and in fact you killed a Jew, but there's halach of kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzedom, and we view this mixture as if there were 50% Knanim and 50, or Chinese, I don't know what you want. The Gemara's language is Knanim, maybe today they'd call them Chinese, I don't know. You know, they say the Chinese like the Jews, so maybe we shouldn't mention the Chinese here. Anyway, so 50% of this mixture are Knanim, and the other 50% are Jews, not statistically, but al pidin kavua, and therefore you're potter. And why you potter? I mean, after all, you killed a Jew. And the answer is Safik Nefashos Lahakel. So it's very interesting. Rashi in Masechet Ksuvos adds a little piece here to the Gemara. The Gemara says Mechtzal Mechtz is therefore Safik Nefashos. Rashi says Daksiv V'chavtu Eida V'tzilu Eida. It's interesting that Rashi feels compelled to quote a pasuk after the Gemara applies Kol Kavua Kemechtzal Mechtzadami, which means that as far as the Kavana. Well, in Yiddish we say Vaslikten Maisa Zrika. The kavana that's inherent in the Maisa Zrika is 50-50. We don't know if that Zrika is going to kill a Jew or can kill a guy. And he may have had intention to kill a Jew, and in fact he succeeded in implementing and achieving his goal, but nevertheless, as far as the Zrika is concerned, it's not a Maisa Ritzicha because it was 50-50. Knew it was 50-50 because of the din of what? Kol Kavua Kamechzal Mechza, dummy. The Gemara applies the principle of suffering the Fush Lahakil. I mean, you can't kill a person out suffering. So Rashi feels compelled to quote the Pasuk, Vitzilu Ha'edam. So I heard once from Moshe Shapiro, was my Rebbe when I was 18. He quoted the Brisker Rav. He was in and out by the Brisker Rav. So he said that the Brisker Rav wants to know what happens after this murderer kills a Jew and the Gol Adam kills the murderer. What do we do with the Gol Adam? I mean, 50-50 that he was a murderer. So if we take that 50-50, we should apply it to the Gol Adam. We have to let the Gol Adam off the hook. Name. That's Zot Rashi, Veshavta Eilu Vitzileidu. That the halach is b'taris vadai, he didn't kill a Jew. Even though he killed a Jew. But as far as the Kavanas Azrik is concerned, it's not a Maisa Ritzicha, and therefore we're going to kill the Gol Adam. Anyway, Gemara says the following. So again, as far as Rashi is concerned, it's a little bit difficult. What does Rashi mean when he says that even though there's Rov Knanim, nevertheless, is mefachin all of his agal? Well, look, good is Rov Knanim here. I mean, there's halach of kavua. So Rashi didn't know the halach of kavua. And at the end of the day, because of this halach of kavua, the Gemara is forced, is compelled to reinterpret the sugya of Shmuel as a case of parish lechatzah acheres. But we didn't know parish lechatzah acheres initially. That was the chiddush of the Taratzin. So if we didn't know parish if we didn't know he was parish lechatzah acheres, so what does Rashi mean that we don't apply the halacha of rov knanim? There is no rov knanim here. It's mechtzal mechtz. So the Gemara answers the following: Lo tzricha de parish lechatzah acheres. Mal de tema called the parish miruba parish. Kamash malandlo holchu bepikuach nefesh achar rov. So the Gemara undermines the kavua by saying he was parish. Meaning, if you have a collection of kavua and then someone is parish, right? For example, you have the 10 chanuyos and one piece of meat is parish, we find it in the street, then we no longer apply the principle of kol kavua, now we apply the principle of kol the parish meruva parish. And assuming that pikuach nefesh and dechia shabbos should be analyzed from the perspective of kol ha-Torah kula, meaning of all the birurim in Kol HaTorah Kula, we should apply the principle called the parish meruva parish, and this individual who's under the debris is, the Torah says, relying Rov, he's a guy. And you're going to tell me kavua, but it's no longer kavua because he's parish. Kamash Malan, this is the Gvaldig Achilles of Shmuel, that we suspend the operation of what? Of Rov, and we will be Mechal Shabbos because of the possibility that there's Yisrael there. So now I want to ask the following question. What does it mean? Does it mean that there's no halach of rov with regard to pikuach nefesh? So take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara asks a stira. Very strange Gemara that the Gemara asks a stira between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, the Gemara somehow wants to recognize Shmuel with Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, "Eini v'omer avasi omer Rabbi Yochanan tisha kusi of Yisrael echad biyosa chotzer is mefakhin, but bechotzer acheres ain mefakhin." You just told me, Shmuel, that we suspend the operation of rov, and we're going to be mefakeach es hagal despite the rov. Here, Rabbi Yochanan says that if he's biyosa chotzer, which means we apply the principle of kol kavur kemechtzal mechtzal, is mefakhin. But if he was porish to a chotzer acheres, is ein mefakhin. Lo kasha hada parish kulu hada parish miktzasayhu. So now Rabbi say, let's learn the machlokas between Rashi and we'll call it the Rush. The Rush, the Ran, the Rif, the Rambam, according to Magen Mishnah, and so forth and so on. So Rashi learns the following. Rashi says, Chod parish, lo tzricha de parish lechotz acheres, is afal gavra, she says, denaydi, which means that we undermine the law of what? Kavua. And we should therefore apply the halach of Rov and assume he's a guy, nevertheless, mefakhin, lo azlin and basarub. So Rashi spills the beans here that the halacha of pikuach nefesh suspends the operation of rov. The normal universal halacha of azlina vasaruba is completely suspended, even though it's naidi, which means it's no longer kavur. The Gemara says hada parish miktasayit. So Rashi says that if it's parish miktasayu, lo yadina nihavi yisrael by chotzer. We have no Chezkas Yisrael in the second Chatzar. In the first Chatzar, we know that it was Yisrael there. Albeit one, he represents 10% of the population in the first Chatzar. But there is a definite Yisrael there. In the case of Parish L'Chatzar Acheres, and we're talking about Parish Miktsasayu, again, I don't know how much is Miktsasayu according to Rashi. I mean, it'd be very odd, because if 9 out of 10... pack out of the first chatzar and enter into the second chatzar. I mean, at what point do you say that the one Jew is also porish? You know, if you have 9, what are you going to say that the one individual that was geblieben in the first chatzar, he was what? He was the Jew. He was that one Jew. You know, like the Rosh Hashitah, if you have bittul v'rov, you know, you can eat the first chaticha, then eat the second chaticha, and then when you get to the third chaticha, you assume that you've already eaten the nevela, so you can eat the third chaticha. You know. But that's the thing that Rove is matir, right?
And the Shnevura brings that even if the Rove left, it's still called the Kiyos estate.
But at what point? I mean, I just don't know how far do you go? You see the gray area here. What if it's 9 out of 10? I'm just giving a prominent example. You know, at what point do you finally say that it's... But Rashi literally seems to assume that even if 9 out of 10 pack into the second chatzar, it's not Ischazik Yisrael. So let's say it's not Ischazik Yisrael. Rabosai. Okay, there's no Chazak of Yisrael. So you're going to let this individual die in the second chatzar. Is there, grant me, a 10% statistical probability that one individual that's in that chatzar is a Jew? I mean, no one can deny that. And yet, Shevi Altas, we can't be Machal Shabbos.
Which case?
I say in the case of Parsh Miktasai, 9, right? Let's say you can't be Machal Shabbos because there's no Chazaka, says Rashi, that there's a Jew there in the second Chatzah. But you have to admit that statistically, there's at least a 10% chance that individual is going to die now is a Jew. And in Pikuach Nefesh, we say that if there's one chance in 1,000 to save him, right? You can pile up one suffix after the other. You know, who says we'll be able to dig up the gal, and who says we'll have a rofe? You don't know what the heck is going on. And we'll still do everything that we can because of a possibility. So Rashi adds another few words here. Very important. Rashi says, Azlinan basaruba, the halacha of rov still applies even to Pikuach Nefesh. The lowest chazik. If we don't have a chazakah, is the Rashi is saying the following. It's interesting. Ask yourself, according to Rashi, the following question. What do we do in Pikuach Nefesh? Is there halach of rov, or is there not halach of rov? Well, Rashi tells me that if it's parish miktasayhu, then Rashi says we're going to apply the principle of rov, and aim of akhen. If it's parish kulu, the whole of Ischazik Yisrael b'hai chatz in the second chatz, so we know there's Yisrael, is therefore mefakhin. I mefakhin. How could you be mefakeach? You've already removed the halacha of kol kavua kemechtz al mes kodon naidi. No, if you don't have kol kavua mechtz al mes, a rov should apply. And rov should therefore determine that the one individual in the second chatzer that you want to be mefakeach for, then it's the one person who was killed, who is in danger of losing his life, is got to be a guy, because the Torah says rely on rov. So, bishleim, in my havamina, Meaning, Rashi, before the sugya, when he presents the sheet of Shmuel, he seems to imply that there is no halach of Rov with regard to Pikuach Nefesh. The Torah was mechadish a new din of Rov, especially according to the Rashash, the way we discussed it. And the Torah could also limit that din of Rov and suspend it with regard to Pikuach Nefesh. And that's the impression you get from Rashi in the introduction to the sugya of Shmuel. But Rashi is no longer able to maintain that position, because we don't have the luxury. Rashi himself says that in the case of Parash Miktosayu, is Rashi says, as Lina Basaruva, the robe tells me that the one guy under the gal is a guy, and therefore you can't be a fakir. No, and let's say it was Parash Kulu. So Rashi says, Parash Kulu is this Chazik Yisrael. So what difference does it make whether it's Chazik Yisrael or Lois Chazik Yisrael? You have to answer the following question, and you can't avoid this question. Does Rov operate in Pikuach Nefesh, or is it suspended in Pikuach Nefesh? That's the Torah's decision. I grant the Torah full license. I'm going to write a Haskama. The Torah has the green light to decide, is there a din of Rov in Pikuach Nefesh? Is there not a din of Rov in Pikuach Nefesh? So I think we're both sides. Does anybody want to say anything? I think there are two dinim in Rov.
Why does Kol Parish and Ruba Parish have to... Why can't we suspend Kol Parish and Ruba Parish and not suspend the din of Rov? In other words, once we have...
Okay, so what is the difference between Rov and Kol Parish and Ruba
Parish? Because we had Kvias beforehand. In other words...
Can you polish that up a little bit? You know, right now it sounds to me, Adam, again, maybe I'm the game, but it sounds a little bit obscure or ambiguous. I think what Rashi is saying is the following. There's Hilchus Sfeikus, and there's something that's called removing the Suffolk, or even better, I think we can polish it up even better, there is no Suffolk at all. And Rashi says that Rov has two different powers to it. There is Rov to remove the Suffolk, and there's Rov to be Machriya the Suffolk once the Suffolk is a given. Rashi says the following. What halach of Rov operates, it all depends upon whether it's Chazik Sham Yisrael or Lois Chazik Sham Yisrael. Rov, in the most far-reaching sense, can tell you, I'll to stop it. The Rov tells you there's no Suffolk here.
Possible.
I'm not saying it's logical. I'm not telling you in statistics it makes sense. But since we've established that Rov goes way beyond statistics, it's a Gzeres HaKosev, it's a Sefer Chal Shem Rov, then Rov could not only be Machriya Sveikos, it goes even further than that. The Torah gave the power to Rov to prevent a Leidas HaSuffik. So Rashi says the following. With regard to Pikuach Nefesh, what does it mean when we say in Holchem Pikuach Nefesh Achar Rov? One way is to say that Rov is completely gone. It's completely obliterated. Lo chai v'lo kayim. The Rov is bottle. The other way is to say it, no. There's one power of Rov that is so far reaching, it's so profound, if you will, that even in Pikuach Nefesh the Torah recognizes the operation of the Rov. As Rashi says, as Linan Bosa Ruba. When is that? When the Rov tells you, don't even be stopping. Ein po suffik klal. But when can you say Ein po suffik klal? That's only the lowest Chazik Yisrael. You want to know when there's a possibility of a Jew here? The Rov tells you there's no Jew here. But if you know there's a Jew here, is that engenders a latest HaSafek? The Safek is objective, it's a given, you can't deny the Safek. Now you want to say Rov is Machriya. This is the famous Rabbi Kiveger in Masechet Ksubos and in Masechet Bava Basra. Rabbi Kiveger always claims that Rov is not Mevar the Safek. Even after the Rov, there still remains a Safek. How does Rabbi Kiveger know this? Again, this is all very famous Torah, but if you'll give me the green light, we'll have Chazar. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia Daf Vav Amid Beis, Kofatz Echad Min Aminuyim, right? You're counting out your sheep for purpose of Maisa Behema. And one of them that was already counted is Potter from Maisa, jumps back into the corral. Is the Gemara says that they're all Potter. They're all part. Why? Because the Torah says, Asire Vadai Velo Asire Safik. Meaning, every time you take out an animal, you might think that's the one that was Kafetz Min HaMinuyim, which is already part of it. In fact, the Shita Mekubet says the Rosh and all the Rishonim. Okay, Asiri Sofek Velosi Yuvadi. But what about Rov? The Rov tells me 9 out of 10 chances that this one is not the one that jumped back into the corral. So they all answer that Rov is good. But here the Torah says, I need a Vadai. The Torah says, Asiri Vadai Velo Asiri Sofek. Says Rav Kiva Eger, Rov doesn't have the power to create a Vadai. So what we're suggesting today is that according to Rabbi Kivega, Rov has the power of being Machriya Sofik. The Sofik really remains a Sofik, as far as the Mitzius is concerned. Now, the statistical probability still tells you there's a 10% chance that it's this or it's that. But nevertheless, the Torah says to be Machriya the Din, based on Rov. Says Rashi, that halacha is suspended with regard to Pikuach Nefesh. The halacha of Rov as a Machriya does not kick in with regard to Pikuach Nefesh. But if there's a more profound halacha of Rov, that Rov could tell you, Al Tistape Klal, meaning you found a body under the debris, you don't know if it's a Jew or it's not, the Rov tells me that there's no suffix here. We don't even think that there's a Jew here at all. That's the way Rashi says it. Comes along the Rosh, and if you look in the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Rosh, and he says a whole different pshat in the sugi. Apparently they had a different girsa in the sugi. Let's just try, if we can, maybe you gentlemen wouldn't mind following inside the Beis Yosef. I'm going to take this one if you want to borrow this one. You need that one? Oh, you have one. Okay, great. I don't know if I have the, because I'm always pressed for time, if I have the ability to read every word inside. I'm just going to give you my presentation, summarize the sheet of the Rush, which is the sheet of most Rishonim here in the Sugya, and you'll tell me if it's borne out by the Lushan of the Beis Yosef.
I mean, this pamphlet in the Rosh, I'm saying we only say that in a case where there's no Ischazit. That's just
correct.
A spell in...
Right, I'm looking at this chatzar and I want to know, do I at least have a suffix pikuach nefesh in this? Comes along the halach of Rov and tells me, if you don't know that in this chatzar there's a Jew, then assume there's no Jew. That powerful halacha, that we make an assumption that we don't even enter into the latest HaSafik, the base HaSafik, that power of Rav, Rashi says, applies even with regard to Pekuach Nefesh. The halacha that Rav, once I'm already in a Safik, could be Machriya, that we're going to suspend with regard to Pekuach Nefesh. So the Rosh says the following. Hadar Parish Kulu, Hadar Parish Mitzasayu. Parish Kulu means that everyone that was in the first chatzer is gone. Spread, dispersed throughout the globe, like the Jewish ghosts. There's nobody left. Forget about Kavua. Kavua is history. Now, when everyone is dispersed and the first chatzer is not in existence anymore as far as Hilchos Sfeikus is concerned, somebody enters into the second chatzer. One of the 10 individuals who is in the first chatzer enters into the second chatzer. Is Ein Mefachin Olav Esagal. We don't violate the Shabbos for the sake of this individual, this anonymous individual is under the debris. However, that's the case of Vada Parsh Kulu. However, Parsh Miktasayu means that we didn't disperse the initial 10, the group of 10 people who were in the first chatzer. They remained in the chatzer. And they're still there. One of them left and entered into the other chatzer. In such a case of Parish Kulhu, then we say what? Ein Mefachin Olav Sagal. But if Parish Mitzasayu, that means, let me give an extreme case, where only one out of the 10 left the original chatzer, he went into the second chatzer, then we apply the principle of Ein Holchem Pikuach Nefesh Achar Rov and the Fachin Olav Esagal. So let's go through the two cases of the Rosh. I think half, I can get halfway, and then I get stuck on the other half. With regard to the case of Ein Mefachin Olav Esagal, that means Parish Kulhu, basically we're back to Rashi again. Why? Because if it's parish kulu, and the original kvius is history, then you have a situation of someone who entered into a chatzah. Who is he? His rove tells me that he's a guy. His aim of fachinov sakal. There's no ischazik Yisrael in the second chatzah. And basically, what we're saying over and over again here, Rabosai, is that there is a halach of rove, even in pikuach nefesh, and we don't suspend the halach of rove. And Rabosai, I have to tell you, that was a chiddush to me when I learned this sugya. You know, since I'm a child, I always assumed in pikuach nefesh, there's no such thing as a rove. We have to do whatever we have. Man, there's halach of rove. If rove tells me that the one individual who went into this chatzer is a knani, then I assume he's a knani and ain mefachin all of a sagal. That's the first case. Nishkefelach. But the second case is giving me headaches. And that is the case of parish miktsasai. What does it mean, parish miktsasayu? Lo nekra kvius harishona, right? The kvius harishona is still intact. And therefore I have a right to say that with regard to the second chatzer, I'm going to apply the principle of suspending rove. And by what virtue do I suspend rove? You just finished telling me in the case of parish kulu that we're going to apply the principle of rove. Why don't we apply the principle of rove in parish miktsasayu? And what's the answer? Because since everyone else's remains in the first chatzah, therefore what? The kfiyah still exists. You've just removed the entire halacha of kol kavuk mechzal mechzadon and called the parish merubah parish. I meant to say. That's what I meant to say. Because what is called the parish merubah parish if not this exact case? When there was a kvius, something or someone was parish from the kvius, is called the parish merubah parish. Are we reinventing the halach of kavua here? If you would have told me that, you know, Tosus quotes the pasuk v'chaybohem, that there's a new halach of pikuach nefesh and you want to suspend rove, that's one thing. But to tell me that you're gonna resurrect kavua from the dead based on what? On pikuach nefesh? That doesn't make any sense. And again, Rabosai, statistically nothing changed over here. This is the statistical probability of the person under the gal being a Jew is identical in both cases. Because in both cases we know that he was one of the 10 people who were in the first chatzer. So he comes into the second chatzer. If the rest of the 9 were just dispersed all over the place, you can apply the principle of rove, and therefore you're not going to be Michal Shabbos. You can assume he's a guy because the Torah says Achirab Lahatis. But if the original kfiyas is still there, then you can apply the principle of kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. And that's going to undermine the rove. How can you apply kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami? Is there some sort of xeris hakosiv with regard to pikuach nefesh that there's no halach of kavua? The Gemara itself is against this. The Gemara says lehedja that if the gal would have fallen in the first chatzer, despite the fact that there are 9 knanim, we apply the principle of kol kavua kevetzal mechzadon. But once he is parish, is the halach of kavua is gone? Is called the parish meruva parish? So if called the parish meruva parish doesn't operate at all in pikuach nefesh nicha, but you yourself are admitting in the case of parish kulu that there is no possibility of applying called the parish meruva parish, the Torah just completely overlooks rove. If that be the case, why not say the same thing if the kvius is still there? So what if the kvius is still there? I still have a probability and a rove because called the parish meruva parish. So Rabosai, if you ask me why Rashi couldn't learn the pshat of the other Rishonim, even if he knew about the other Girs in the Gemara, I would submit to you that Rashi had a serious problem with the other Rishonim. The fact that the original Kvius is still intact, v'lo nekra Kvius mimkoma, tells me nothing about the halach of kol deparish meruva parish. And Rashi Lushitasa holds there is a din of Azlina Basaruba in the case of Lois Chazik Yisrael. And not only that, the Rishonim themselves are operating within the perspective of Rov. Haraya, in the case of Parish Kulu, we're going to say, Ein Mefakin Sagal. Why? Because called the Parish Meruba Parish. You know, Rabosa, I never know if you've been working on this and I'm just, reinventing the wheel, because I don't know, to what extent you try to go in depth or not. I mean, to my mind, and the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins like the Shita and the Rishonim, it could be the Rambam accepts it. Maybe we'll have time to open up the Rambam, I don't know, with the Magid Mishnah. To be honest with you, Rabosa, the Magid Mishnah says something here, if I read him correctly, that's, well, I don't know what to say. I think it's out of the ballpark in baseball terms. I'm showing my American background here, and I think the Yankees are outnumbered here by the Brits. You know, we ever since the Boston Tea Party, we thought we were the big shots, but I guess Paul Revere was not so successful here in the Amic Learning Center. But I can't believe the Magid Mishnah. Magid Mishnah throws a curveball here. He says that in the Ikar Adin, all the Rishonim agree that you should apply the principle of called the Parsh Meruva Parsh. But Machmas, Chumras, Pikuch, Nefesh, is they made, he doesn't use the word Takana, but it sounds like he's operating with the Derabbanan here. I mean, Tosis is operating with V'chai Ben V'loshi Yomus Behem. Did the Magid Mishnah forget that? I don't know. It's a Doraisa look. We're not dealing with the Derabbanan.
On some level, you can't say that the concept of Rov has been completely suspended. Because if that would be the case, in the case of a Mapolis that falls on someone, if I'm in a place where there's any Jew around and I don't know who that just fell on, if I would suspend Rov entirely, I would always be Machal Shabbos Misafik.
Yeah, so let's say we know that there's one Jew there, correct?
Somewhere in the city,
whatever it is. And now we have to determine what the halach is. So I don't know. So Mimonafshach, if you're saying that, well, there was a Jew in the first chatzar, that's enough to engender a safek. So then, even in the case of Parish Kulu, and we got rid of the original kviyus, but we know that one of those 10 guys came into the second chatzar, why aren't you willing to be Mechal Shabbos with? And if you're going to tell me, well, you know what? I'm not going to be Mechal Shabbos unless I have an Ischazik that there's a Jew there in the second chatzar. So why in the case of Parish Miktasayu, comes along the Rosh and the Ran, and they say, but you still have the kviyus. But what do you gain by the kviyus?
You have to latch on to something.
you know what? I'm sorry to say this, I keep you remind me of the Magid Mishnah, which is not bad. Yeah, you're in good company. You know what I'm saying? This Gefelech, you know what I'm saying? The Magid Mishnah is a Rishon. A late Rishon, but still a Rishon. He's on the borderline, but within, No, you're right. I understand where the emotional, we feel passionately for this poor individual under the gal, But nevertheless, I can't understand.
That was almost Nachal. It was weak. It was been weak for a year. It was almost Nachal was going to fall on that Shabbos. Was going to fall. So what
is that a philosophical claim or you? Oh, okay, good. Okay, I just want to know what you meant. It sounded like destiny. You're good. Now you sound too philosophical. All right. The Brits say it can't be right. It can't be right. So that's a philosophical claim, because I studied Immanuel Kant and it could be right. It's joking. But we say it can't be right. Ew. I hate that American accent.
I'll be Teva was Omid Lenafel. The guy that's still in the kvias of that first chetzer, once he decides to open the door and leave the chetzer, I can still hear that's kol kavua. He's already in the push.
But I just want to know, if let's say, for example, you had to determine, not pikuach nefesh, yes. That's what I want to know. In kol dini atorah, do we have such a halacha?
The Mishnebura brings a place that's in the Mahag in Yuma, and it's we learn from the Raisa that Bechai Bayan Shelo Yuchal Avo Beshum Inyan Lidei Shiyamut.
No, but you can't just say it like that, because then again, in the case of Parsh Kula, you should say that too.
The Shartzion asks that. Yes, in Canada.
All right. And what's the Prima Gunim answer?
I don't know.
Sorry. I'll tell you what, Yitzchak, you know why you don't know? I'll tell you why you don't know. Because the Prima Gunim has no answer. He leaves the Bitzach in. He doesn't have an answer. You know who I found an answer in, but I can't understand, it's gibberish to me, is Reb Shimon Shkar. But I never understood Reb Shimon Shkar. You know? But if anybody wants to see Reb Shimon Shkar, I'll show it to you. It's Pashut, I read it 1,000 times, and it's totally obscure. It's worse than learning the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah. No. Yeah, go ahead.
Why don't you say the fact that you definitely know it came from the other chaser?
Right. Why shouldn't that be enough that we should be fakeh as a god?
And therefore, as a result of that, you say it chaser, because
No, but again, Zev.
Is it the same as if you have a piece of meat and it can score? It came out of the store.
Listen, Zev, if you find a piece of meat in the street, then we don't apply the principle of kol kavua kemetza meltzadam. We apply the principle of rov. Why is it that in this case, I'm going to apply the principle of kol kavua despite the fact that it's no longer kavua, he was parish. Again, there is a kvias back in the first chatzin, but that's irrelevant to the second chatzin.
Definitely know that it came from the
place. Good, but Zev, if you're going to say I definitely know, you're in deep trouble, because then in the case of Parish Kulhu, and to use the language there of the, what was the, who were you quoting there? The Mishnah Berurah? What does he say, that beautiful poetic language? Yitzchak Zev, what was the beautiful poetic language? No, but before that he said something that we have to do whatever we can to save a nefesh or something. So that should apply even in the case of Parish Kulu. Parish, again, Parish Kulu doesn't change this emotional feeling that we've got to go all out to save the Jew. I'll tell you why I have to. I want to suggest 2 mahalchim here. And, you know, it's a very difficult thing. If I were to walk out right at this point, I would be in the same place as the Prima Gadim, which is not a bad place to be. Or alternatively, I would tell you something about the Magid Mishnah, and it's all the Rabbanans, and forget about the Tosfos. Okay. All right. Let me just try 2 possibilities. Now, let me first just formulate the 2 possibilities in sentences. You know, each one will get a sentence, and then we'll go into detail. One way of going is to say that ein holchim de dikuach nefesh acharov means that kavua destroys the rov in a very unique way. Kavua destroys the rov. The other way of saying it is that there are 2 rovs, and when the Torah suspends rov with regard to pikuach nefesh, it suspends one of those 2 rovs, but not the other of those 2 rovs. Okay, that's begadol. Let's go through it one by one. So the first way I wanted to suggest is that maybe with regard to pikuach nefesh, the halach of kavua is a brand new halach. Now, let me point out to you what you already know, and that is that kavua essentially shoots down rov. In fact, if I have, of course I didn't bring it with me, but Rabbi Chanan in Ksubis quotes his Rebbe Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim said that even when you apply kavua, it still is a rov. The rov lurks in the shadows. You can't undo the rov. The power of kavua is to prevent us from applying the din of rov. You can't paskin based on rov because it's kavua. Maybe I should read to you the Lashon of Reb Chaim. It's very telling, but okay. Did I bring my briefcase in here? No, of course not. You don't mind if I can trouble you? Yo, it's that big black bag that's half broken. And okay. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, the Binas Adam, the Chochmas Adam, has a whole tractate here called Tractate Kavua. Thank you so much. You're familiar with the Kovet Shirim. He's very short and very abridged, which I think is a mila gdola, because sometimes you read these long things like Rav Shimon and you get lost in the sea of words and you throw in the towel before you get there. He, on the other hand, is very short and to the point. So in the Sugya Ksuvos, he says the following. He says, this is on page Pei Aleph, number Mem. And he says, the Ikar Adin, the Kol de Parsh. The Ikar Adin, the Kol de Parsh. When you hear that, you know it's dramatic. Yesh La'ayin. Nehi da hachaticha shenimtzeis eino bimkoma, but it was Porish from its original makom. Aval kol hachatichos hamunachos bimkomam hevi mechzal mechza v'imkein zusha pirsha lo pirsha miruba elami mechzal mechza. Right, for what it was in Porish, al pidin, you've already established that there's a din of kavua on the kvius. This was porish from the kavua. If it was porish from the kavua, how can you say it's, how can you apply the principle of rov? It's really mechzal mechza. He says v'chacham echad heshiv, and then he told it over to Reb Chaim. The had kavua ke mechzal mechza ein ha pirush shenechshav ki ilu leka ruba. El gzeras hakosuv bedavar she bedavar kavua lo azlin and basar ruba. Now you and I might think that he's giving a secondary role to Kavua by giving Rove a lot more leg room. I think it's just the opposite. I think he's telling you how powerful Kavua is. That Kavua is so powerful that even though logically it should be Rove, right? Because if something falls from heaven, it probably falls on the Rove, not on the Mechzal Mechza. But it's Exeris HaKosev that B'mokom Kavua lo azlin in Basar Ruba. This is the Chiddush of Kavua. Meaning Rabosai, Kavua and Rov are really involved in what I'd call a head-on, a head-to-head confrontation. The whole Chiddush of Kavua is to defeat Rov and to say lo azlin in Basar Ruba. The Torah is Mechadish a new din called Rov. The din of Kavua says, don't apply Rov. You're basically limiting the application of Rov. Now, he says, Ube'emes ikaruba gamba kavua, ela delomahani. Uletir tze hiskim, morim, avi, agon, Rav Chaim, avbezn de brisk, zatzal, etc. So he told it up to Rav Chaim like, good. So when we think about Kavua as the antithesis of Rov, and now we have a situation where I want to claim that this body underneath the gal is a guy. Why? Because the Torah says rely on Rov. The halach of Ein Holchin, the Bikuach Nefesh Achar Rov, tells me that the force that opposes Rov and tells you lo azlin and basar Rov plays a very unique role. Now I looked in the Ritva in Masechet Ksuvos and he adds something here which I don't know if I should take it literally or not literally. He writes the following. Avol pirish miktasayhu, pirish miktasayhu, which means that you still have the original kvius. V'nichshar miksas acheres b'chotzar rishon, v'adayin akvius kayom, and the pirshu was al das lachzor. He adds three words here. So I'll tell you, these three words in the Ritva make me happy, but they make me sad. There's the good news and the bad news. The good news is that the Ritva is certainly operating here, midin kavua. If I had any doubt about it, in the language of the Rush and the Ran, in the Ritva, it's black and white. He says that the fact that the original kvius is still there, and he adds this condition al das lachzar, because he's going to go back to the chatzar rishon. That's his ikar makom kvius. That itself gives the original makom kvius extra power. That's the good news. The bad news is that he's saying an ukivta here. He's saying that b'medvar amurim. When do we say that parsh miktasayu? Is then mefakhin all of a sudden gal machmas the original called kavuk mechzal mechzam is only because daito lachzor? And let's say it wasn't daito lachzor. Let's say he was a guest in an inn, Well, they were all guests in an inn, and they had until 12 noon, you know, here in this country it's like 10:30, 11 in the morning is checkout time, right? And what do you say?
Kol Deparsh.
It's at that point, I would apply the principle of Kol Deparsh. That doesn't excite me too much, but at least I understand very well that the Ritva is not learning like this Magid Mishnah, that it's, you know, some sort of a pshara that we're doing over here in order to save the nefesh. He's learning mamish din kofu. What I would like to say is that when the Gemara says, based on v'chai bahem, is that we don't apply rov to establish that this body is a guy, what the Gemara is saying is that the opposition to rov becomes very strong. And what has the power of shooting down a rove? Kavu. And it's fascinating to me that in the Binas Adam, he speaks about a Rashba in Chulin, the Rashba in Chulin wants to know, at what point do you say that it's no longer Kavua? How far did they go in order to remove themselves from the Kavua to establish Parish? And he says in the name of the Rashba that he says that you have the case in Psachim of, you remember the Teshat Tziburin of Matzah and Chah, and one Tzibur of Matzah, and he says, even if one of the Tziburim was Bezavis Acheres, it still remains Kavua. Dafka Kishapirish Michutz Labayis Oz Mikri Parish. And he says that in another case, which is a sugin chulin, he says dafka chutzal makolin, avol betolcha makolin afil itzad echad adayin shem kavua olaf. And he gives other cases. So b'kitzar ma'isa, the definition of kavua is very, very ambiguous. You know, at what point do you say it's parish? At what point do you say it's still part of the original kvius? So it seems from the Ritva that what the Ritva learns here is that even though Ploni, we don't know who he is, whether he's Jewish or not, was Parish from the first Chatzah, he's still Bechlal HaKvivs. Why? Because Daitolach. Now it could be, Rabosai, that if you want to insist on the Magid Mishnah, you could say the following. Again, this part is you know, in Sograim. And that is that we find many, many times that the Torah gives an ambiguous gether. The gether is not well defined. I'll give you an example with regard to Chol HaMoed. What does the Torah say about Chol HaMoed? Mikrei Kodesh. Which means, according to the whole school of Rishonim, that it's an Issa D'oraisa to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Yeah, but what's included in that Issa D'oraisa? We have five categories of Malachas that you're allowed to engage in on Yom Tov. So the Ritva is famous for saying that HaTorah Masron L'Chachamim, the Torah gave the authority to the Chacham to define how do we fulfill Mikrei Kodesh. Or the Ran at the beginning of the 8th parak of Yuma, it says V'nisa Mesnashul Sechem, the Ran is of the opinion that all five Inuyim are Doraisa, and yet the Mishnah allows Rechitza in the case of a Kala Tov Shloshim Yom, in the case of a Melech, so what happens? So the Ram says, the Torah says V'nisem, and what Rechitza is considered a violation is antithetical to V'nisem, to Inuyim. What Rechitza is not a Tainug, but it's a Rechitza for this purpose or that purpose, that's Masron HaKosav L'Chacham. So perhaps we could say that when the Torah says V'chai Bohem, the Torah is saying, look, we're going to suspend the power of Rov for the sake of Kavua. What is considered Kavua? Not the Chachamim will define what's Kavua. But I'd like to suggest another possibility. And this, I think, is much more exciting. And that is, there are two concepts of Rov. Only one of them is suspended with regard to Pikuach Nefesh. The other is in full force. Let's go back to the first Chatzah. Somebody, some anonymous individual, a human being, is Poresh from the first Chatzah. So the Torah says, in Kol Torah Kula, Achrei Ravim Lahatos, Kol Deparish Miruba Parish. And the Torah says, let's look at this individual and let's try to identify him. he was Poresh, and now the suffix is on him. And I focus all my attention on him as an individual. That's one halach of Rov. If Rov tells me that I should identify that individual as a Knaini, then the Torah says he's a Knaini. But then there's another halach of Rov. And that halach of Rov tells me that I go back to the group, not to the individual, and I look at the group and I ask myself the following question. What are the statistical probabilities that the prisha that's going to happen is going to happen from the group? And the answer is, the larger the percentage of one group, the greater the probability that the prisha will take place from that group. I'm no longer dealing with the individual as such, now I'm dealing with the prisha from the group. In the first halach of Rov, the prisha is already a done deal. It's a fact on the ground. Now I look at the individual and I ask myself, who is that individual? And the answer is called the Parish Meruba Parish. In the second Rove, what I have the right to do is go back to the original group and ask myself which of the two members, which of the subdivisions of that group has a greater likelihood of producing a Prisha. In that case, I'm working Lamafreya from backwards to forwards, and I'm asking an anticipatory question. From which group do I anticipate a Prisha? And here I take the individual and I throw him into the group. That's the difference between Pikuach Nefesh and Kol HaTorah Kula. The Chiddush of the Torah Pikuach Nefesh is that whereas in Kol HaTorah Kula, I have a right to say, let's look at the individual and I'm going to set up a din of Kol DeParish, Meruba Parish, and I'm going to use the individual and ask him who, at that moment of Prisha, identify that Prisha. Identify that Prisha as the individual, qua individual. In other words, Bali Kesher, without, independent of the entire group. I isolate him, and in isolation I apply the principle of Rov. I look at him, and I say he was Porish from the Rov. In Kol HaTorah Kula, that halacha applies. Comes the halacha of Ein Holchim Pikuach Nefesh Achar Rov, and suspends that halacha of Rov. That halacha of Rov is completely suspended. And therefore, even though, when I look at that individual, al pi rov, I would determine that he's a guy, and therefore I am mefakhin, I will be mefakech all of us agal. Why? Because the Torah says there's no din of rov with regard to pikuach nefesh. I have to be choshesh, maybe he's a Jew, despite the rov. But there's another halach of rov. And this halach of rov applies even with regard to pikuach nefesh. And that is, forget about the individual. Let's go back to the group. Let's anticipate from where would we expect a Prisha to happen. And the answer is that since in the original group we have Rov Knainim, is most probably the Rov Knainim are going to produce a Prisha. That halacha works even with regard to Pikuach Nefesh. Is Dr. Nafkamin is going to be between Parish Mitzasayim and Parish Kulhu. If it's Parish Kulhu, then I no longer could judge the individual as part of the group, because the group doesn't exist anymore. It's history that dispersed in the four corners of the earth. And when I look at the individual, then what I'm going to say is that based on Rov, I would assume that the one that was Poresh was a guy. The Torah says, forget about that. That halacha doesn't exist. But the other halacha of Rov, that I could go back to the group and say that based on this group, I can determine that the one who came out of the group came out from the Rov is Rov Knainim. And that halach of Rov applies, is activated, even with regard to Pikuach. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here.
When do we have this discussion?
It's only not yet to be Kuch Nefesh. Yeah, because in Kol HaTorah Kula, Kol HaParish, Meruba Parish, I don't have to take the individual and put him back into the group. The finish of Pikuach Nefesh is that the other Rov is still Kayam, Azlin and Basaruba. Why? Because since I look at the group and I ask myself, where from which group was it Poresh? And the Rov of the group, the preponderant majority are Knanim, I say that this individual is a Knaim. And that's where the Torah says that although Ein Holchim in the first halakha of Rov, no, it's the universal halakha of Rov which applies in Kol HaTorah Kula, that halach of rov is suspended with regard to pikuach nefesh, and that's called ain halach of pikuach nefesh rov. But the second halach of rov
exists, but never is
relevant. Remember. Becomes relevant to pikuach nefesh. The chiddush of pikuach nefesh is that I still can fall back on the halach of rov.
So we're basically just saying, instead of being an exception to, you know, it's a chedek of the original rule, right. Which I'm making in terms of Rebbe's law that we're still looking at it as a rule. You've just, you know, just giving them
there. Okay. Here, let me return this to you, Adam, if you don't mind.
I mean, what's the loss in that Rav Shimon's got to bring?
Oh, man. Mispari, Mikri, I can't figure it out. I'll show you a copy of it, believe me. Okay. Just push me on that, but I'll get it for you. It's in HebrewBooks.org.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. They changed the time on me over there. So.